I tell you, it's hard to believe another year is behind us. 2016 is in the rear view mirror. And I just encourage you to have a small rear view mirror and a big windshield, all right? Amen? As we look ahead, seeing what God can do, will do, and we don't know what that will be. But we look forward with anticipation, we look forward with excitement, and we just praise God for His many blessings in the past. And based on His blessings in the past, we look forward to a great future. Wouldn't it be something if the Lord came, returned in 2017, and next year at this time we'd be celebrating 2018 together in heaven? You know, wouldn't that be awesome? What a blessing. Excuse me. But, you know, as I thought about preaching on New Year's Day, you know, about what do I preach? You know, you could go a lot of different directions. You know, what's the best message for the year? We oftentimes think of resolutions, and it's been said resolutions are made to be broken. I like to think of goals. I like to think of looking ahead to the new year in terms of goals, setting goals and working to reach those goals. And New Year is just a good time for what we see here, a fresh start. Isn't that nice to see that brightly lit screen? You know, we have the new projector in. And thanks to the guys who put that together and got that put in. But we're looking at a fresh start. And fresh starts can go all different directions, touching all aspects of life. Oftentimes we think of a fresh start, we think of diet and exercise. You know, we think, oh man, I'm gonna, you know, set a goal, gonna work out every day, or gonna lose so much weight, or whatever it might be. It might be finances. You might say, you know, I got to pay off certain bills, or get rid of all my credit card debt, or whatever it might be, pay off a mortgage, something like that. It might be organization. We got to get the garage organized, or the attic, or that junk room or junk drawer. You know, you have one of those. You know, you have a junk drawer. You know, it's just like everything goes in the drawer. You know, and I think every house or kitchen has one of those. I'm going to organize the junk drawer or the guest room or a closet. Maybe it's work related. We want to increase the bottom line. Got to really work at that. Give some attention to our organizational efficiency, or develop a positive work environment. You know, those kinds of things. These are all good goals. Might be educational goals, schooling. Gonna finish my degree, or I'm gonna look to get straight A's, or be average, or pass. We set goals, and these are all good. And we look ahead to a new year, and I would encourage you to consider those areas of your life. But whatever your goals, here's some suggestions. Keep your goals simple. If you look at all of these areas, you might say, well, how do I do this? Be able to articulate your goals simply. Write them down. Write down the goal. Keep it before you. Have the, what do you call it, the app called Sticky Notes on my computer, and I have my goals written out right there on one of those little sticky notes. So in the morning when the computer comes on, they're right there. I'm reminded of my goals. Write them down. Keep them simple. But be specific. Keep the goals specific. Not just, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better at. That's pretty vague. But be specific. If you're going to lose weight, say, I'm going to lose 10 pounds, or I'm going to try to lose 10 pounds. That's my goal. Put it out there. Make your goals attainable. Make them realistic. Make them measurable. These are things you've heard. Just reminding you. As you think of a measurable goal, let's say you're going to pay off credit card debt. Maybe you have 10 credit cards. I'm going to pay off 5 of them this year. Something like that. Be specific, and then you can see how you're making progress. You're able to measure your progress as you pay off each card. And then develop a plan. Start with the end in mind. Say, okay, that's what I'm going to do. Now, what do I need to do today, this week, this month, in order to reach that goal? I'm going to lose 10 pounds. You're not going to lose it all this week. Say, well, I'm going to do it a pound a week. Or, you know, measurable. Say, I can do this to get to where you want to be. Develop a plan in order to do that. So those are things that you've probably heard on the Today Show or Fox News and Friends, Fox News, whatever, Fox and Friends News. You've heard those things. And it's a good time to be reminded of those things. But I might say, well, okay, well, what about spiritual goals? Now, let me be careful to say, you know, as you think about all of those things, don't say that those are secular and this is what we're talking about is spiritual, because I'm going to point out here in just a few minutes that oftentimes those things are affected by our walk with God. All of those things that I just mentioned are often affected by our walk with God. Our walk with God has an effect upon those areas of our lives. It's not just the secular and the sacred. But I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we think about, if we could say, spiritual goals. It's very easy to think of goals when it comes to the matter of diet and exercise, finances, schooling, organization, and those kinds of things. But did you ever think about setting some spiritual goals? 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. You've heard me exposit this passage on occasion in the past. But it says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Don't consider the ways of the world. And so oftentimes the ways of the world, the ways of the world are false ways. Even if they sound good and they leave out God, that's falsehood. Did you hear that? Even if they sound good and they even work, if you leave out God, it's falsehood. God says that whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord. Whatever you do it as unto the Lord. It'd be a good place for an amen. Thank you. You know, we do whatever it is, diet and exercise, finances, work, schooling, organization. We do it all to the glory of God. That's what we ought to be doing. So that you don't have the secular sacred dichotomy. But have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Don't do things the world's way. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. The word train there is the word gymnazo, from which we get the word gymnasium. Just as an athlete disciplines themselves toward their sport or event. Kind of wish Ohio State had a little more discipline yesterday. But anyway, that's all I'm going to say about that. But just as an athlete disciplines themselves toward their sport or their event, we are to discipline ourselves, exercise ourselves toward godliness. Let that sink in. Because we tend, oftentimes people tend to think that godliness is just something that's just infused in us. And it is by God's grace. I mean, there's absolutely nothing we can do to deserve the grace of God. It's only by His grace we can do what He even commands us to do. It's only by His grace that we have the salvation that we so wonderfully experience. It's all by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God that you can even discipline yourself toward godliness. Okay? But in the same way that we discipline ourselves to reach all of these other kinds of goals and all these other areas of our lives, discipline yourself, exercise yourself, train yourself toward godliness to be all that God wants you to be. For, verse 8, or because physical training is of some value. We live in this physical life and there is some value in organizational skills and developing goals regarding finances and all these things that we've mentioned. There's some value in that. And so he's not saying don't give attention to these areas. But what he is saying is it's of some value, but godliness has value for all things. Godliness, if you give attention to your walk with God, it's going to have value for all of those things we just mentioned as you view them in light of eternity and in light of your relationship with God. It has value. It has some value in that. But godliness has value in for all those things, holding the promise both for the present life. You live the way God wants you to live. You discipline yourself toward godliness. And it's great for this life here and now. And you give attention to your walk with God in relationship to all those other things that I've mentioned. That's a blessing. You do all those things heartily as unto the Lord, you're going to be blessed. It has promise for the life that now is, the present life, and the life that is to come. You can't lose. This is the greatest deal out there. So I want to look at this passage in light of this new year. And it kind of hit me between the eyes this past Thursday evening. I was sitting on our love seat with Teresa. Everybody go, aww. We were watching TV, holding hands. Everybody go, aww. And I was catching up on reading some gun magazines. You're supposed to go, aww. Well, I had perused several magazines. I had several. They're just trying to get caught up, you know. And I got through about three or four magazines, and then it hit me between the eyes like a ton of bricks. I had not spent time with God in His Word yet that day. Now, I had all this time to sit and watch TV and to read three or four gun and shooting magazines, and I hadn't spent time with God and His Word yet that day. I was like, oh my goodness. Has that ever happened to you? You don't have to nod your head. You don't have to. But has that ever happened to you? You know, you get through the whole day and you get in the busyness of things and, you know, I mean, I was out of my routine. I had some vacation days and so on. And so it just convicted me to think, here I've got all this time to read gun magazines. I hadn't spent time with God in His Word. I'd like for myself to apply this verse, 1 Timothy 4:7-8, to our time with God in His Word. It takes discipline. Someone defined discipline as sustained daily effort. Sustained daily effort. And I found that for many believers, it's so easy to be undisciplined in the area of the Scriptures. The reading of the Scriptures, the listening to the Scriptures, the studying of the Scriptures, the memorizing of the Scriptures, the meditating upon the Scriptures, and applying the Word of God to our lives. Those are all part of time with God in His Word. Reading, listening, studying, memorizing, meditating, and applying God's Word to our lives. And so often I talk to many Christians who say, you know, I just don't get into the Word of God enough. I know I should do it, but life gets in the way. And so I want all of us to be thinking about, okay, how about 1 Timothy 4:7 to train ourselves toward godliness in this area of spending time with God in His Word and prayer? And some of you are really good at it, and you haven't missed a day in years. But let's all think of this and use this as a motivation. First of all, think of the value of God's Word. Think of the value. I'm going to have you look at some scriptures with me. Let's turn to Psalm 19. Turn to Psalm 19. Let's look at this passage together. You're familiar with it. Psalm 19, if you're taking notes, verses 7 through 11. Verses 1 through 6 talk about general revelation in that we can see God in the world around us. You can see the power of God in creation. You can see His creativity in creation. I think we can see His love in the matter of creation through His provision. So that's special revelation. But here you have specific that's general revelation. This is special revelation, the Word of God. Verses 7 through 11 speaks to the Word of God's special revelation. The law of the world, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. The Word of God is perfect. It is complete. There is nothing left out. The law of the Lord, the Word of God is perfect. And it is so perfect that it revives the soul. It revives the dead, sin-sick soul. Because of the Word of God. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it's through the Word of God. You want to see a family member, a friend, come to know Christ, minister the Word of God to them. It's the best thing you can do. Minister the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. God's Word is so sufficient, so complete, it can quicken, it can make alive the sin-sick, weary, lost, dead soul. That's how powerful the Word of God is. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Look at the value. You know, you want the wisdom of God, it's found in His Word. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. You have burdens in your heart today? Get into the Word of God. Allow God to minister to your heart, to lift that discouraged heart, to encourage your heart. The precepts, the Word of God is right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. You're confused. You're not sure what to do. You need some direction in life. Look to the Word of God. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. It will never let you down. It lasts. The ordinances of the Lord are sure. They're altogether righteous. You can't go wrong sticking to the Scriptures. Here it is, verse 10. They, the Word of God, the words of God are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. More precious than gold. We think of the most precious metal out there. We think of gold. You know, our economy is supposed to be supported by gold, right? You know, behind that paper dollar bill is gold. They say, you know, to really guard your portfolio, buy gold. The Word of God is more precious. More precious than gold. Than much fine gold. They, the words of God, are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them, the words of God, is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. You don't have to turn to Job 23:12, but you can jot that down. Job 23:12. You remember what Job, you remember all he was going through? You remember the difficulty, the challenges, and all that he faced, and the loss that he experienced? He said this, I have treasured the words of His, speaking of God, I have treasured the words of His mouth more than my daily bread. Treasured the words of His mouth more than my daily bread. I don't know about you, but when I get hungry, I get grumpy. You know, I just like, ugh, gotta eat, you know. How long have you gone without spending time with God and His Word? I've treasured the words of His mouth more than my daily bread. Here's one to look up. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is flawless. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. How do you take refuge in Him? Go to His flawless Word. You want protection, you want help, you want encouragement, you want hope. Go to God in His Word. Run to God. How do you do that? You go to His Word. Listen to what He has to say. Because His words are flawless. He's a shield. He protects those who take refuge in Him. You don't add to His words, or He will rebuke you and prove you a liar. You don't have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. but rather discipline yourselves toward godliness. You don't have to listen to it. You don't add to the Word of God. Listen to what He has to say. Look up Psalm 1. You're familiar with Psalm 1. Verses 1 to 3. Verse 1 there. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Blessed is the man who does not listen to godless myths and old wives' tales. There's only two counsels. God's counsel and the devil's counsel. There's God's way and the devil's way. Blessed is the man who does not walk in that counsel of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Blessed if you don't do that. But his delight, that which you delight in, you rejoice in, is in the law of the Lord. What's the law of the Lord? The Word of God. Instead of, blessed is the man who doesn't listen to the counsel of the world, the flesh, and the devil, but rather his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the Word of God, and on His law does he meditate day and night. All right, so you do that. What are the results? Verse 3, he's like a tree planted by streams of water. What's that? Stability? That's stability. You want stability in 2017? Spend time with God and His Word. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. That's success. I don't know what success might look like for you, but God promises it. It's God's kind of success. It yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. That's endurance right there. The leaf doesn't wither. It lasts. It's evergreen. And whatever he does prospers. That's prosperity. Those are results from giving your attention to your walk with God, your time with God, spending time with God in His Word, not listening to the counsel of men, not listening to the counsel of the world, the flesh, and the devil, but to the counsel of God. And then finally, Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2. Finally, not meaning this is the end of the message, but finally on this point. Psalm 119, you should be there in Psalms. Just turn over about 87 pages or so. Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2. Here's blessings again. Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2. By the way, just about, not quite, but just about every verse in Psalm 119 speaks to the Word of God. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of God. Blessed are they who keep His statutes and, underline this, seek Him with all their heart. You want to be blessed in 2017? I mean, isn't that, you know, think about it. Man, God, we just asked for your blessing upon us in 2017. You want to be blessed in 2017? Give attention to God through His Word. The best thing you can do in order to be blessed by God is to spend time with Him in and through His Word, with a commitment and a follow-through to put it into practice. It's not just, I don't want to be misunderstood today to think, okay, we just have this spiritual rabbit's foot. There, I read my Bible today. It's going to be a great day. We don't know what a day might bring forth. So we read the Word of God so as to gain principles, direction, encouragement, strength for the day. Isn't that what a meal does? We should, as we eat a meal, it's, you know, I've gotten, you know, during my prayers, I say, thank you, Lord, for this food. And we ask your blessing upon it, but strengthen us by it. Isn't that what God's Word should be to us? That as you read His Word, that it would strengthen you for that day. I desire the Word of God more than my daily bread. And so you read it, you listen to it, you study it, so as to get it into your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know those verses. You get it into you so that it gives you help, hope, encouragement, strength, and direction for the day. I think the best thing, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking the best thing I can do is to encourage you to commit to time with God and His Word. So here's the take-home challenge. And it is simply, time with God is worth my time. Can you say that with me? Time with God is worth my time. All right? Now, I'll start you out. You say it without me this time. Time. Do you believe that? As you look ahead to 2017, time with God is worth my time. The best thing that you can do is to make, if you're talking about spiritual goals, spiritual commitments, I think the best thing that I can encourage you to do on this New Year's Day is to say, time with God is worth my time. And I'm gonna commit to spending time with God. Some of you do that and you do it well. But I've just talked to so many who've said, you know what, I know what the Word of God says, but, or I know God says I should be in His Word, but I don't know very much about the Bible. I've mentioned Lindsay lately, our granddaughter, remember Lindsay? She is feeding herself. Now, it's not pretty. You know, I mean, it's like fistfuls, you know. Just cram it in, you know. Any way you can get it there, you know. She just, But here recently, she used a fork. I don't know how she knew. Well, I guess because the food was on the end of it, she put it in her mouth. She's learning to feed herself. Every once in a while, I hear someone say, concerning a ministry, whether it's ours or another ministry, I'm just not being fed. Now think about that in light of little Lindsay. Or a baby. Now for a period of time, there needs to be some, you got to feed the baby, but listen, they're babies. That's what you do for babies. There comes a time where that baby needs to learn to feed themselves. Now, as a pastor, I need to serve up good meals. Okay? As you think of being fed in the ministry, the pastor has a responsibility, and our teachers, he have a responsibility to prepare and serve up good meals. I'll tell you, there was several years ago, there was someone in our congregation who said, man, you know what? I take your messages, I take my notes, and I take them home and I study them. I was like, wow. I said, man, that is awesome. Now I work, let me just give you a little insight into my preaching. I work very, very diligently at making my messages simple. I think the Word of God should be easily understood. And so I'll have very simple outlines oftentimes. And it comes from thinking about it a lot. Sometimes they're just one word outlines. Pray, give, go. You know, something like that. But I encourage you, I encourage you to take notes, whether they're projected or not. I encourage you to jot down things that you hear. Think about what's behind that word pray or give or go or whatever is in that. And think about that and study that. And maybe there will be a verse that said, jot this verse down. Jot it down and go back and look at it. It's a suggestion as to how to maybe feed yourself based on the ministry of the Word of God on Sundays, whether I'm preaching or someone else or whoever's teaching. So I have that responsibility. It needs to be something that you can take and that you can grow from. I'm not neglecting my responsibility. I just want to encourage you and remind you that this isn't the only meal for you for the week. This isn't the only... Could you imagine just living on Sunday afternoon dinner and not have anything else the rest of the week? You'd say, that there's no way. You know, there's no way I could do that. Well, in the same way, as you are, as I minister or whoever's preaching or teaching, as the Word of God is ministered, you have responsibility to get into the Word of God yourself. The best thing I can do to encourage you concerning the blessing of God in 2017 is to encourage you to spend time with God in His Word. Time with God is worth my time. So set a goal concerning your time with God. Please do not say, I'm going to spend more time with God by reading His Word. I'm going to read His Word more. That goes back to being specific about your goals. That's too vague. I set a daily goal. I have a friend in the Indianapolis area who was pastoring, and he developed a program called CADVAD, CAD/VAD, chapter a day, verse a day. And he encouraged, he had a booklet and everything, and every day, you know, chapter a day, verse a day, you wrote down the chapter, and then you read the chapter of the Bible, and then you put down the verse that you wanted to focus upon for that day. That's a good thought. The Word of Life Quiet Time Diary that we have for our teens and children, it is a great way because it gets you into a passage of Scripture. And if you're working on this as a family, if you have children or teens, it's a great way for the whole family. They have an adult edition for the leaders and the teachers. And you read a passage of Scripture, same passage that the kids are reading, and then it has you journal it. And then in the adult edition, it has like a little commentary. And it helps you so that you can minister to your kids. But even if you don't have kids, it's a great way to get into the Word and journal what God is teaching you through His Word that day. There are all kinds of plans out there. Here's another commitment that you could make, and that's read through the Bible in a year. We have several of these. Ask Candace to print up extras of these in anticipation of this. If you can't think of anything to do, this is a great goal. Read through the Bible in a year, and it tells you what you need to do in order to do that. And each of these little folds, you can cut along the fold, and it becomes a bookmarker for that area of the Bible. And it tells you what you need to do in order to get through the Bible in a year. Maybe you've never done that. And so it's a great goal. Some do it. Kenny Funderburg. Remember Kenny, he's with the Lord, he's been with the Lord. He's one of our men who passed away, and he lived to be in his 90s. But he'd go talk to him, and he says, I've read the Bible, you know, 50-some times. Read it through. He had it down. He read through the Bible every year. It was amazing. And so maybe that would be a goal. Maybe you're not there yet. And say, well, okay, I'm going to read a chapter. How about a proverb a day? If nothing else, you're going to read a proverb a day. The book of Proverbs speaks to just about every issue of life. Doesn't speak to every issue every day, but in a month's time, there's 31 Proverbs. Today you would read Proverbs 1, tomorrow Proverbs 2, the next day Proverbs 3, and you could look through that and say, okay, what are some verses that apply to my life today? You're going to find it speaks to so many areas of life. There are many other daily devotional guides. Of course, Our Daily Bread, we have those here. There's a chronological Bible, through the Bible in a year, chronologically, that kind of thing. John MacArthur, David Jeremiah, James McDonald. In fact, David Jeremiah, I just heard this morning. All of these guys have like daily devotional guides and commentaries. I think David Jeremiah's is even a daily study Bible. He takes you through the Bible and has the study notes and everything to get as you go through that. I think it's called Hope for the Day. But these guys have these kind of guides. But I would use the devotional guides. Teresa has one that someone gave her here recently, being thankful for the day. And it has, it's one, like it has January 1st, and it has a prayer and has a passage of Scripture. I would use those kinds of things as supplemental. Don't say, I read my Bible today because I read this one verse. I would just encourage you to say, you know, that kind of thing is supplemental. And maybe it's one of those things where you say, well, I'm going to do that for, like, let's say daily bread. I'm going to do that several days, but on at least one day a week, I'm going to study the Word of God. I'm going to study. I would say that's the kind of thing to start with if you've never done this before, but don't stay there. That's my opinion. We're talking about making the Word of God your life. And time with God is worth my time. That it's not just 2 minutes and I'm done, but to actually spend time with God. But use that as supplemental. And then maybe it's a matter of studying a passage of Scripture. So I'm going to ask you today, right now, I'm going to ask you to make a commitment. Be thinking about it. Hopefully you've already been thinking about it. What could I be doing? Now, some of you, and I'm going to ask you to put it on a communication card so you can reach forward now with nobody looking because everybody's reaching for a card. You can take it out of the pew in front of you and you can write down your commitment. Now, some of you are going to say, I continue. I'm going to continue with my Bible reading study plan because you've got it. You've got it nailed. You know what you're doing. And so you're going to write down there, I'm going to continue with my Bible study plan. Or I'm going to continue reading. I've been doing this every day for these many years, but I'm going to continue reading through the Bible every day by using the Read Through the Bible in a Year. Or maybe you've been doing that for 40 some years, 50 years, or however long, like Kenny Funderburg did. That's what I'm going to do. Just put down what you're doing or what you plan to do. Some of you might have to say, I'm going to start. I haven't been doing it. Haven't been doing it faithfully. It's been very sporadic. I just encourage you to start. Make that commitment on the card. And we don't have to publish that. We're not going to publish your name. We're not going to publish all your commitments. Our prayer reminder would be really, really long. But it's good to make that kind of a commitment. And I encourage you to say, I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to start doing it by getting the Read Through the Bible in a Year plan. Or I'm going to study, use daily bread. Or here's what I'm going to use. Or I need help. I have questions about what to use. Jot it down. Again, you might say, well, I'm going to study the book of Revelation. It's always kind of confusing to me. I'm going to study Revelation. And I'm going to take some time and study. Or I'm going to read daily bread, but every Saturday I'm going to study a Revelation. Or I'm going to study the epistles. I'm going to study Romans. I'm going to study 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. I'm going to study the minor prophets. You're going to take a day or two, or maybe that's what you do every day. You're going to take 15 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is. I'm going to study the minor prophets. Whatever passage. I just encourage you, as I talked about goals, if you don't write them down, we tend not to stick to them. Right? So I encourage you, write that down. And make that commitment before the Lord. Write it on a communication card. Here's a memory verse if you're taking notes. Psalm 119 and verse 16. Psalm 119 and verse 16. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Isn't that awesome? Is that your heart before the Lord? I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Be convinced of this. And let's say it once together again. Time with God is worth my time. One more time. Time with God is worth my time. Heavenly Father, may that be the overwhelming realization of our hearts. We all want blessing in 2017. And Father, you've told us about how we can know and experience your blessing. And that's by spending time with you in and through your word, Blessed is the man who doesn't follow, the person who doesn't follow the ways of the world, flesh, and the devil, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Father, you've promised that blessing. I don't know what that blessing will look like, but I know that you promised blessing, and I thank you for that. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, again, I encourage you. Hopefully you've been thinking, what can I do? What should I do? How can I do this? I just encourage you to jot that down on your communication card. Again, personal, private, check for pastors only. I'm not saying don't jot down other prayer requests, but I would like for you to put down your commitment concerning your time with God and His Word. We're going to take an offering here in just a moment. Again, we just rejoice in your faithful giving. I was just blown away by how we finished the year strong. And you're to be commended, and God's to be glorified and praised for that. And so we want to start, we finished the year strong. Let's start the new year strong and give of our treasures to the Lord, but then also of our time and our talents, our resources. So as you give, as you place your offering in the plate, you also place in those commitments. And by God's grace, God help me to be faithful to this commitment, this goal that I'm setting concerning time with God, because time with God is worth my time. So help me. So you're making that offering, and you're making that commitment with a prayer to God for His help and His, thanking Him for His grace. Father, help us. Strengthen us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.